going to the hurry up offense.
Yes, hi and hello, and welcome to the Dave Dameshek Football Program, presented as always by McDonald's and the iconic Big Mac. For a limited time, there are three styles of Big Macs you can get now. Not styles,
what are they,
sizes. Dave? They're cheesy and they're juicy. Mm-hmm. That's what they have in common. The Mac Jr., the Big Mac, and the Grand Mac. Go get them at participating McDonald's. Studio 66 loaded with a couple of my all-time favorites. Number 24, Ike Taylor and Handsome Hank. We'll say proper hellos in a minute. Fellas, let's jump into the hurry up here in Valentine's week. Happy belated Valentine's Day to you both, though.
Love you, Dave.
Yeah. Love you, too.
Yeah, do you?
Yeah.
Really?
I do.
Do you love Handsome Hank?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah,
I love
a lot of love.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he shared his little fruit with me earlier.
That was a generous
from gift. McDonald's.
Like Adam and Eve.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Kind of.
Yeah.
All right,
it's two Adams.
Yeah, it's some sin.
Eve.
We'll talk about Valentine's Day in just a little bit, but like I say, the hurry up. Who should the New England Patriots, you know, this is what happens. Part of the booty of winning the Super Bowl is that you then get to host the season kickoff in the following season. Who should the New England Patriots play host to for the season kickoff in September of 2017? Here's their full schedule. It's the Buffalo Bills, the Jets, the Dolphins, of course. They have to play their division foes. Then you go Texans, Chiefs, Chargers, Falcons, Panthers. Ike, I start with you. What makes for the most compelling 2017 kickoff?
Atlanta.
I kind of agree, but
yeah, I want to see if the new offensive coordinator from Atlanta gets it and know he can run the ball and not have Tom Brady on the field in the second half. I want to know that part.
It's not just the Patriots, though, that if you have to go up there and play them, that you're likely to lose that game. But really, for anybody who plays in this season kickoff game, if you're the road team, you almost always lose. I think only twice in the 13, 14 years has the road team won this one. And it does feel weirdly anticlimactic. Watching that Panthers-Broncos one, think back to the start of this season. Didn't it feel like, yeah, but we saw this game.
Nah, feel good.
And it doesn't matter now what happens here.
Yes,
because
does.
What mattered was 6 months ago, and now this is like I say, anticlimax.
It's a fake repeat.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, so I like the fake repeat.
I think we could do better. Handsome, how's
I just think if the Falcons played in that one, I think they would get destroyed.
I
think
agree.
They'd lose by 30.
That's one?
Yeah, I think if the Falcons opener? Played in the opener, I think that's what would happen.
Heck
coming
no.
off of that, coming
well,
off of
well,
that
because,
game.
Well, because what's the upside to it? If
right.
the Falcons win, the Patriots' reaction is, yeah, but we beat you when
yeah,
it mattered more.
Exactly.
Yeah, that was last year.
I know, and then if you lose, it's like, oh, well, now here we go.
Right. But that was
a
last year.
All right.
Like, what have you done for me lately is the name of this game.
Right.
It's not old.
But the problem
last
is
year.
That lately – going into that game lately is
no,
February.
That's the start of a new season.
Right.
It doesn't matter.
But why pick up where we left
because,
off?
Exactly.
Because the offense coordinator is different.
All right.
We've seen
that's
that
why.
Story.
For me, the offense coordinator is different.
Right.
I want to see what the offense coordinator has to
bring
to
the table. I'm going to give you two options.
Okay.
I would say if the Houston Texans.
That's a loss.
If the Houston Texans.
That's a loss.
Trade for Tony Romo, which is a possibility.
How about this? How about if it's
why
even
wouldn't
Jay Cutler?
You have Tony Romo? Why wouldn't you have Tony Romo's first game in a new uniform against
bro, you
the Super
know,
Bowl champions?
Hey,
I know it's a
handsome,
loss. I know I'm
handsome,
not. I'm not like everything's
handsome.
A loss. Let's
right
assume
now you're taking Matty Ice over Romo to play Tom.
No,
Brady.
No. Handsome. I mean, not Ike. You're
you
quite wrong
sleep.
There.
Sleep.
If you have Tony Romo,
how?
It's because this isn't about
it's
this
star
isn't about
power.
The game. This is about
yeah.
the TV rating. Tony
right.
Romo playing for the first
so
time
Matty
in 12
Ice
months.
Have any star power?
Not compared to
all
Tony
right.
Romo.
Now you're being difficult.
Sleep. Yeah,
Ike, you're being difficult
sleep.
Now.
No, not at all.
Yes, you
not
are.
I'm talking about football facts.
That's fine. I'm not talking
about star power.
That's what I'm talking about, though.
No,
we're talking about people tuning in to watch TV. People will Tony Romo's first game in 12 months playing for a brand new team against the Super Bowl champions.
Now, if
people
you
will be head over
if
heels
if you
for that.
Said
bro,
Tony
you
Romo
sleep.
For the Broncos.
Yeah. Bro, you sleep.
If you would have said Tony Romo for the Broncos, then maybe that would have been a little bit different.
Well, but he's not. Texans, that's not on the
well,
list.
Wait a second now. If Handsome is 100 – now, of course, we're getting wild.
Yeah, yeah.
With
I mean,
Tony Romo's
taken
going
four
to the
leaps
I'm just,
of faith.
I'm just doing a check. I'm doing a check. I'm just checking. I'm just doing what Shaq do every day, all day. That's all I'm doing. I learned it from you, so I had to throw it out there.
Well, I learned from you. Bro, you sleep. Let me tell you something. You better put some respect on that name, Tony Romo. Listen, I as I've said for the last 2 months now, the best destination of all the potential ones out there for entertainment value, for compelling storylines value, is Tony Romo to the Texans. For him to stay in-state with a loaded roster, the Texans would immediately be 1A to the Patriots among AFC contenders in when you lay out who you think might go to Super Bowl 52. So I'm rooting for that one. How about if it's even Jay Cutler, though? If it's Jay Cutler and J.J. Watt, and you know, they have a lot of big-time stars on that team, that'd be a good one.
You don't think that Tony Romo will automatically upgrade the Denver Broncos?
I think he would.
For a season or two?
Yeah, yeah.
Sure.
Or maybe a game or two.
Or for a game or two.
They better get him an offensive line, right? Because then somebody's going to push him and he's going to fall down.
He needs one of those neck breaks.
Clavicle will shatter into 1,000 pieces.
So y'all just taking Tony Romo in Houston for that opener against Tom Brady.
But if not, can we take Cam? Can we put Cam against Tom Brady in an opening game?
Ooh, they have the big bounce back. Here's another one. Well, the Chiefs people are bringing up because they are competitive. No, not the Chiefs. We don't want the Chiefs.
Why not?
The Bills won't be it.
Wait. Why not?
Why don't you win
the Chiefs?
Because we're talking about entertainment value. And is that right out of the gate? Andy Reid and Alex Smith. That's your season debut? Come on.
That's not exciting.
Okay.
That's fine.
What about Phil Rivers and the Los Angeles Chargers?
Nope.
That would be fun. Nope. That would be a fun
one.
No
more fun than the Chiefs.
Not more fun. Nope. And what about your Miami Dolphins, Handsome Hank?
Nope. That wouldn't be fun for me. I'm thinking about myself here. I don't want to watch that.
It's going to be pretty good. All right. Meantime, the New England Patriots. The Patriots fans, say whatever you want about Boston sports fans. I say a lot about them and their levels of narcissism. Remember, Red Sox fans, there was actually a show once on NESN about Red Sox fans talking about their experiences watching the Boston Red Sox. How narcissistic a fan base can you be to make a TV show about yourself and how we watched you? It's a little weird. Anywho, they also stole the name City of Champions. They want to be called City of Champions, and as Ike Taylor can tell you, there's only one
Pittsburgh.
City of Champions. Come up with your own name is the point. Right. Now they have a new one in their quest for their sixth ring. It's their trademarking Blitz for six. Blitz for six.
You
doesn't
can't
even rhyme.
That sounds like something you'll say in Pittsburgh.
Mm-hmm. But it doesn't rhyme even.
Well, they talk a little bit different in Boston anyway. Just like in Pittsburgh.
How do they sound like?
In Boston?
Yeah.
I really can't say. I'm not going to try.
Do the Pittsburgh accent.
No, you can do the Pittsburgh yens.
Dude, you didn't see Roethlisberger, dude.
Yeah.
Dude, he can he winged that football all over. The Brownies and the Birdies, they don't know what to do with that.
It's a heavy accent in Pittsburgh.
It's uglier than the Boston one.
I love it.
What Yen's
doing?
You ever meet a foxy lady hey, Yen's, love you, Steelers. It's a little off-putting.
Well, my wife, she's from West Virginia, but she lived in Pittsburgh a long time.
She's got the big one.
A huge country accent.
I like a country accent,
but it's a little twang in there. It's a little bit of twang. It's a little bit of South Side Pittsburgh and a little bit of West Virginia on the hilly side, with just a little bit of Ike in there. You know, Ike barely know how to talk, and our son is the worst. He is the worst. He is the worst because she's an English teacher. So when he gets to talking like his dad. She's like, slow down, wait a minute. But I'm like, what's proper English? Like, honestly, we get our vocabulary from London, though,
yep,
right? That's the background. Like,
yep.
We get our vocabulary from London. So,
Some of it.
Right? Most of it, though.
Yeah, right.
So why we just can't make up our own?
Well, you've done that successfully. I don't know that everybody in the world can do what you've done, Ike, but I think that is your mastery over the rest of society. And with few exceptions, you are the best at saying something in a way that has your own unique grammar to it and words. You make up your own words. And yet, at the end of your thought, I know exactly what you mean, and so does everybody else.
See, that's a good thing.
That is right. That's exactly right.
That's a good
As
thing.
I've said many times before, and this might sound like hyperbole, this is the same thing that Charles Barkley has going for him. People want to say to people going into broadcasting, no, you have to conform to a certain type of articulation and everything else. No, Ike Taylor and Charles Barkley
prove
you wrong.
Call me whatever you want to call me.
Valentine's
Week. Just don't call me collect.
Okay.
All right, to the matter at hand, Handsome. Can't they do better than blitz for six?
I'm sure they can.
Well, apparently not. They're trademarking
but this. But they also trademark no days off.
Life of six? Or the joy of six? The joy of six, right? Get it? It's a old book about sex. Like, no?
Yeah.
Let's move on.
Yeah, let's move
Byron Maxwell is he is back there in the secondary for Handsome Hank's beloved Miami Dolphins. Ike, I'm going to start with you though on this one since you are the guru of cornerback and secondary play in pro football. Byron Maxwell says the secondary down there in Miami can be like the Legion of Boom. How say you?
No, not at all.
No.
No, not at all. And here's why. You have a cornerback who I think is the best cornerback right now, Richard Sherman. You have the best traffic control guy at the free safety position in – hey, what's my guy name?
Earl Thomas.
You have the best enforcer at the strong safety position in Cam. Really, it's the big three. Mm-hmm. And the fourth corner on the other side, you can kind of shuffle him in. Because you can play certain coverages. So I look at them like how I look at the Warriors, them three, like a Steph, a Green, a KD. Like that's how I look at Sherm, Earl, and Cam. Now, are they getting long in the tooth? You can kind of tell they are. You know, you can kind of tell they're real seasoned
veterans.
Well,
the big thing that killed – I mean, you know, who knows how different things would look. Everybody still is talking about Derek Carr, and I think they will
right.
10 years from now even.
Right.
People will look back and say, man, if Derek Carr hadn't gotten hurt, who knows what the 2016 playoffs would have looked like. What if Earl Thomas hadn't gotten hurt? They might have wound up in the
right.
Super Bowl. I think you can make a strong case they would have.
A strong case. What Earl Thomas missed 108 out of 109 games? Earl Thomas?
Oh, it did not miss that many.
Yes.
Right. Yeah.
That's,
he
missed
right.
one until he got hurt. That's impressive.
And then they fell apart. I mean, as soon as he went out, that was the end of
it.
That.
And that's what your Jenga piece.
That's what I was trying to tell people when we were talking about, okay, what's the biggest injury throughout the course of the season? And we was coming on your show, like, Earl Thomas is the biggest injury throughout the course of the season because he's been there the longest. He doesn't mm-hmm. miss games. Like, he controls everybody from the back to the front. Usually it's the linebacker controlling from the front to the back. No, Earl is the linebacker. He just so happened to play safety. So now you got a guy with the same voice every year, week in, week out, making sure everybody gets lined up, seeing the personnel coming from the sideline because he has enough depth to see it. Okay, get the message from the defensive coordinator, relay the message to his guys, and everybody's lined up. They take that for granted. That's what people got to understand from a free safety position. Just like Ryan Clark was for us. Like, you can't take that free safety position for granted. Once you have a voice back there and know what to do, snap in and snap out, regardless on whether the receiver come in motion, whether a running back come out the backfield, make the call, make it consistent. Even if it's the wrong call, everybody is on the same page. Once you lose that voice, it's hard to hear another voice because that voice is not – in a routine. It's not in a zone. So when I was looking at Earl getting hurt, I'm like, oh yeah, it's gonna be hard. And they were saying, oh, we got guys and the next man up. But no, not when you have a all pro safety in Earl Thomas. You even saw Cam struggling a little bit because they tried to put him back there in the post. And that's not what he does.
Right.
So that's just, to me, just proves all my points on how good
I completely
Thomas
agree.
Is.
Now, in hindsight, I will revise my Jenga piece, my most significant Jenga pieces that were absent from the playoffs. I would go Earl Thomas 1 mm-hmm. is the most significant absence. Yeah, if Derek Carr had been back there for the Raiders.
I just talked about that over there at now. Derek Carr.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. I was what-ifing. I was playing a what-if game.
Well, let's
– The funny thing is, though, you always maintained that Gronk was the number one.
I know I did.
And what
happened? Now I have to drop him. I thought eventually that would burn him. Apparently, I was wrong because it didn't burn them.
Well, for the New England Patriots, and people still haven't caught on. It's the backs coming out the backfield. So we can what-if this. What if Blunt didn't fumble and it would have stuck to the same game plan? Mm-hmm. So now you got Jamel White. He changed the whole game plan. Like, Jamel changed the whole game
James
plan.
White. Yeah, you're absolutely right.
James White.
That's a great what if. What if he hadn't fumbled there?
Yeah,
right.
James White changed the whole game plan, not only for New England, but for Atlanta Falcons. Like, they were depending on Blunt carrying the load. Okay, we'll see James White every blue moon on certain down and distances. We'll see him. Nah, we got to see him every down. So now, is it Deion Jones, the linebacker? Now Deion got to go outside and he got to check James White. And you saw what happened time after time. So now you see little Mighty Mouse running in between tackles time after time. Okay, he's lined up in the backfield behind Tom Brady. There is no way they bought it giving the ball. Gave the man the ball three times in the red zone. Threw for one.
Very similar to what Shane Vereen did two Super Bowls ago.
There you go.
Super Bowl 49.
There you
catching
go.
All those passes. The real X factor there. Two Super Bowls in a row. Guy catching the ball out of the backfield. It's a great point there. Bottom line, handsome. Your Dolphin. I mean, that's a silly statement. This is the time of year to make them. Or do you agree?
Well, this is the
with
time
Byron
of year that
Maxwell.
People, no, this is the time of year that people are making those type of statements. Ike said just now at the top of the show, what did you do for me recently? Most recent I saw those Dolphin, that Dolphin secondary was through tears. And it was Antonio Brown having whatever 200 yards receiving in the first quarter. So I think that's kind of an outrageous statement. The irony is that actually in Tony Lippett they have a corner in his second year who was a receiver at Michigan State. I actually kind of like Richard Sherman. Got these big long mm-hmm. He's tall, he's got these big long arms. Maybe, you know, he's a development project. I don't think they intended him to play as much as he did last year, but he looked pretty good. They drafted Xavien Howard who wound up being pretty good in the limited games he played. The irony for me, and they got Rashad Jones, who's great. Byron Maxwell, they might eventually develop into a pretty decent secondary. Byron Maxwell's not going to be a part of it.
Oh, I don't think that's ironic because Byron Maxwell was
the weak link of the Legion of Boom
as well. Did you see what Handsome did there? He tried the backdoor in, like, well, you know what? Byron Maxwell might be right. This my football
team. I'm not. I'm saying like
up. He set it up so nice. He set it up so nice, man. He set that thing up so nice.
Let's make sure we do pay homage to my Miami Dolphins.
Well, no, I think what I said is that it was a little sad last time I saw them. It's kind of outrageous to be saying that would be the case because the most recent memory was...
But when we're healthy, beware Tom Brady and the rest of pro football.
Yeah, we're coming for
2017, there shall be a reckoning.
For some reason, they do play the Patriots well, though. The Miami.
They do. Mm-hmm. See, back to where we started. Maybe they should be the team that pays a visit up to Foxborough to start the season. Meantime, let's start the show! Yes, hi and hello. And again, welcome to the Dave Damashek football program presented, as always, by McDonald's and the delicious three versions of the Big Mac. Go get some. Let's say hello to our pals properly now. You've been hearing their voices now for the last 15, 20 minutes. No
record
set.
That's the shortest one we've had.
I know. People have been pointing out. Somebody pointed out the other day that the one we did about 2 weeks ago, we did like, it was like a 35-minute hurry up, and then we did like a 9-minute show after the hurry up, which was kind of nice to say.
Real quick.
Not real quick. There's nothing. Not real quick. All right, let's say hello. I you know what? We do like to tackle the game of football. We do it capably, I'd like to think. But also, today's the day I think we need to tackle the game of life, and a big part of the game of life is the battle of love, you know? And
battle.
I don't know. I was trying to. I didn't want to say the game. I didn't want to say the game of football,
right.
Game
you
of think life.
Too much.
Yeah.
Yeah, I overthought.
He got a whole lot of.
Not a battle.
Tell.
Yeah.
Right. The mystery.
Just, it seems
right.
Yeah, the mystery.
The mystery of life.
An enigma.
Up top, he's struggling right now. Just looking.
You know who can. You know who can clear that up for us? Number 24 from the Pittsburgh Steelers. Here he is, everybody. Ike Taylor.
Yeah. Ike Taylor. I-K-E-T-A-Y-L-O-R.
Born in Gretna, that's in New Orleans.
Yeah,
locked down in college, drafted to PA.
That's right.
Number 24 has got opinions for days. I-K-E-T-A-Y-L-O-R.
Hey, Taylor. My son asks me all the time, Daddy, how you my color and you ain't got no rhythm?
And the answer?
I just tell them, man, I lost. That's a chromosome I didn't get.
Can't have it all, right? Yeah, no one's perfect. Yeah.
I didn't catch that one.
wait, is that another remix?
I don't know. That was yet another.
That's number three.
We have four versions of the exact same song.
Handsome Hank, you have probably the most epic one. Like it's sleek. It's straight to the point. It's not long. It's classic.
But here's what I'm saying. I don't think it's worth remixing it. I think we got to start again.
No, I like that one. What's wrong with that?
I didn't like that one.
Really?
There was one remix I liked, but it's not that one.
I like the spacey quality that one has. All right, let's say hello. It is a classic all the way from London, England. He's our resident Miami Dolphins fan. Handsome Hank, everybody. He's handsome, hello, handsome. How does that one make you feel?
It always feels good.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Who is the best James Bond of all time? Ike Taylor, you like James Bond.
Oh, I love James Bond, but the best one of all time?
Roger Moore, Sean Connery, Daniel Craig.
Daniel Craig.
Tim Dalton.
Yeah. I love Daniel Craig.
I can't think of the guy's name who was in For Her Majesty's Secret Service.
Lazenby.
Yes.
Yeah.
Roger.
No,
George.
I love Lazenby. Daniel Craig. Dude. Yeah, he's one of my favorites.
Who would win if they got into a fight? It would clearly
be Daniel. Daniel all day.
Right? Yeah.
You think?
Yeah.
I think Connery would.
You think Connery?
I think Connery would take
Daniel
it.
Daniel all
Connery's
day,
the mind number one. No, you can't beat Connery. I'll tell you who beat first out is Roger Moore.
Roger,
that fight will be over very quickly for Roger.
Maybe, but he's the one upon which I was reared. When the first Bond I saw was The Spy Who Loved Me, and Jaws to me is the greatest villain of all time. Mm-hmm. You know, like bad guy, not the evil genius, but the muscle bad guy. You know Jaws, like we had the metal.
Yeah,
teeth.
Metal in the mouth. But you know who I like? My favorite villain, who really wasn't a big time villain, was it my either Chinese or Samoan guy with
a job
hat. Odd job through the hat. He could chop your head off.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He was vicious with that hat.
He was a vandal as well. He would go around, and if he saw a statue, he would just – because if you were wearing that hat, you'd want to do that more often than just when you're trying to assassinate people. He would just flick it off and just take a statue's head off.
Would he win the fight against Jaws, though? Probably, because Jaws couldn't get to him. Because
Jaws would catch it in his mouth. It wouldn't hurt him because he's got metal teeth. Mm-hmm. And then throw it back at him.
Handsome Hank's got all the bases covered, doesn't he?
Hey, that's what he do, man.
Let me just say this really, real quick before we move on to
real
something
quick.
Else. Because I don't think Ike got to hear this one. You know the departed Matt Harmon, the hipster with the beard, the mm-hmm. bigger of the two hipsters. Mm-hmm. Real quick, we had a new intro for him on his last day a couple weeks ago. He went away
for five
months.
Oh, okay.
He's on his sabbatical. Okay. He comes back soon.
I got you.
But I want you to hear this, Ike, because I think you're going to like this one. It's a little bit different, and not surprisingly, because this is one not created by the one-man house band Dick Banks. Rather, this is Emma VP.
Emma?
And Sydney on the vocals, the ATN producer Sydney, combining for this Matt Harmon song.
A hipster with a dog.
Who's singing?
Backyard
Sydney.
Banter is his blog.
Who playing the music?
Emma.
Emma playing the music?
Mm-hmm.
What's she playing?
His facial scruff. CBS sitcom nerd. This writer has a way with words. He's Harmon, Matt. Hey, fella, what's on tap?
Shout out to Emma. Shout out to Ryan. Shout out to Mark Brady, who be having 8-hour call times for everybody. But we got to talk to Mr. Mark, man. Our call times, if it started at 4, he went up there for 11.
I don't know why we went in that direction all of a sudden.
Well, it was on my mind, so I had to say it, man.
No, you're right. Mark Brady.
Holy moly, Mr. Mark.
Here's the thing. Mark Brady is our greatest champion here on the show. We always appreciate his great support and everything. He's the only one. Consider him lucky or the opposite. He listens to every second of every podcast that goes up on air from the NFL, and he can tell you everything. He can tell you all the new – I liked when you said that to Ike.
Mm-hmm. All the storylines.
14 months and 6 days ago, Ike said this to you on the show. You should pull that up and play that kind of
He's
stuff.
He's very aware.
He does, though, if the call time is –
Oh, my.
If, the cameras are going hot at 9 a.m., We need you there.
At 5.
The day before at noon.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, Dave, you have a reputation on that front as well.
I can tell you. I'm always on time.
Always on time.
Thank you.
Always
Thank
on
you
time.
For your
Man,
service.
I love Mr. Mark, but Mr. Mark, your call times, bro.
All right, let's move on to Valentine's week here. I don't want to be a curmudgeon, but I have to be for 1 second here, real fast. Valentine's Day. How am I supposed to honor a holiday when it's so one-sided? You know why? When do you get a gift, handsome, on Valentine's
I
Day?
I got a card this morning.
A card.
Yep.
Did you?
Mm-hmm.
Why 2 days after Valentine's Day did you get a card?
Well, but, I mean, it was late.
Ike, what do you get gifts?
I ain't get nothing.
No, but did you get a gift for the missus?
Yeah, I bought a car. I bought a 1967 Beetle.
That seems to not be that equitable then. You bought her a car and she got you zero.
Yeah, she tell me, man, I got you this kid. You see how good this kid looks?
Mm-hmm. You see how that's a good got the better end of the deal.
Seems unfair.
Very.
No. Seems imbalanced.
Yeah. It's a one-way street.
Where's my parade, you know?
Yeah.
My parade of love and flowers, you know?
So what would you take, or what would you want as a gift on Valentine's
Day? Well, you know what, Ike? I'm glad you brought that up because I want to talk about that here and now. Here's a question from Dear Ike. It came from the Super Bowl. We went around. We talked to some football luminaries, but also some football fans down in Houston, Texas. Here's one from a passerby.
Dear Ike, what's the best way to change a poopy diaper?
I'm sorry, I thought that was related to Valentine's Day.
How is that related to Valentine's
Day? All right, well, now we're on this subject. It's time for Dear Ike, where Ike tackles the issues that surround the game of life.
Oh, man, it's easy, man. You got to have the wipes on deck. Mm-hmm. You got to have whichever wipes you like. They got a few brands that you can use for the baby wipe, and you can't be afraid in public to lay the baby down. Mm-hmm. On your jacket, on the shirt. See, me, I used to take my shirt off because I wanted to show my muscles. Anyway, used to take my shirt off, put it on the ground, make sure I had put his butt up a little bit. Wait, hold on.
No, take your shirt off
put it on
to
the ground.
Change a diaper.
No question.
That seems like an unnecessary step.
No.
Really,
have you seen that commercial where the terrible towel, where the baby spilled ice cream?
Yeah,
and his dad took his shirt off instead of giving the baby the terrible towel.
Instead of ice cream, this could be something worse.
No question. Right. So I take my shirt off, put that thing on the ground. Got to tilt the butt up a little bit.
Soft serve, right?
Got to tilt it up and just wipe it once, fold it, wipe it again, throw it away, get another one, wipe it once, fold it, wipe it again, throw it away, put the clean diaper. You gotta keep the butt up. You can't let the butt touch the shirt. Put it on, strap them up, bam, bam, put his clothes on, bam, put my shirt back on, and we're ready to go.
Well, the two genders, see, you've only had the boy, but Handsome and I have experience on both sides of the gender fence, and they each provide
different challenges,
don't
different
they?
Different challenges, yeah. I mean, because they can make a lot of mess in a lot of different places.
Right.
I think the most important thing, you, Ike nailed
the little girl, you go the other way.
You have to,
you
yeah,
start
you have to
front
wipe.
To back.
Yeah, because you can't go up in
yeah.
there.
Yeah, trouble. You don't want that.
Right.
Yeah,
you trouble don't
could ensue.
That's
yeah.
a bad thing. The Y'all important crazy. Thing, though, is preparation. Like, the last thing you want to do is be in that. You take your shirt off, of course, you know, so now I'm half naked.
I like some more
muscles. And then I do the wipe, and then I'm like, oh. The nearest diaper is over there, and I'm holding this and yeah, the
everything right there, baby.
You gotta be, you gotta have everything.
Everything
first.
Gotta be right there.
And you know,
I'm
then you gotta
bummed.
Put your shirt back on, go find a diaper, take it back off again, and then finish off.
It's such a bummer, though, to me, pun not intended there, that I never got to see a shirtless Ike Taylor changing a nude bum of an infant.
We'll bring the streets
of Pittsburgh.
You bring one in here.
I felt like that was my time to shine. Look at Ike.
Look at that. Not only muscle man
changing that baby diaper.
Right. Is that so?
That's a cute picture.
All you need to do is get a dog as well, and you'd be like.
He's set. But I don't know if my dog will sit. He wouldn't sit. He wouldn't sit still. He'll venture off.
Your self image is so when you think of yourself as I'm a muscle man.
Muscle.
You think that's how the world sees you?
I get it from you.
What's that?
I like to toot my own horn.
Yeah.
I toot my own horn.
No question.
Well, I don't think I really do that very much, Ike.
Shaq, you just ask yourself a question to answer it just now. You just did. Only Shaq can do that.
I don't even know what that means. Okay. Let's we have a couple things we have to get to. I hope we can squeeze in some more Valentine's.
Yeah, we need some
talk.
More Dear Ikeys.
I know, but time's always running short on us here, so let's kibitz about this. Let's get to something we started for the offseason. We're going to do it for all 32 teams. This time it is the New York Football Giants turn under the lens. It's time for half empty, half full, the New York Giants. Ike Taylor, as we sit here in February, Rashad Jennings no longer a part of the club. Victor Cruz, the highly productive wide receiver, of course, salsaing in the end zone. Now only a memory for Giants fans. As we sit here right now, should Giants fans feel like the glass is half empty or half full?
Half full, man.
Because why?
Because I thought it was time for Cruz to go. You got Shepard. You got a young up-and-coming receiving core. Jennings is Jennings. That's what you're going to get out of Jennings for the rest of his career. Like, he's a one-cut kind of power back. No disrespect to Jennings. As far as, like, being elusive, he's not that elusive. Getting you the tough yards, he can't get you the tough yards. Having a 1,400 season, 1,400-yard season, I don't know if he can have a 1,400-yard season. Got a young stud in 28 right here that we're looking at that they like for –
You
Barry
really
Lucer.
Like Paul Perkins, though, yeah. Long term. I think he's fine. I don't think he's the answer either. Right.
But you see, you got to get and me and MJD be talking about this all the time. Your one back have to get in a rhythm. As soon as this man get in the rhythm, he's gonna be golden. We said the same thing about AP when he came off his injury. AP has to get in a rhythm. Once he gets in a rhythm, it's a wrap. Le'Veon Bell came back. He's starting to get in a rhythm. Now we saw Le'Veon Bell go from patient to super patient. The same way with 28 right here, man. You got to let this guy get in the rhythm. Because once he get in the rhythm, now the offensive line getting in the rhythm. Now once the offensive line get in the rhythm, the offensive coordinator get in the rhythm. Now once the offensive coordinator get in the rhythm, now OBJ becomes OBJ. Now Shepard becomes the Shepard we've been looking for. He's an upgraded young version of Victor Cruz. That's all Shepard is, which is a good thing. He's a faster, more elusive version of Victor Cruz.
I mean, you know, also there's Lewis back there, but you know, you figure Sterling with the very nice rookie season in combination with at worst the second or third most talented wide receiver in the game, in Odell, Eli, and you know, the thing to me
is
that
problem.
I disagree that that's a problem in the defense.
Know, hold on. You know who I think they should get, and I know they're not, but I think they really should, Terrell Pryor.
Well, they're not. Yeah, it's unlikely they would be able to land him. But
I really do think they should get Terrell Pryor over there for the New York Giants. I really do. I know Cleveland don't want to let him go, and Cleveland actually probably will have a good receiving corps this year if Terrell stays and they sign him. But Terrell Pryor to the New York Giants will be a hell of a season.
Well, the thing that stands out to me is, and we move on quick, especially in the playoffs. Like, as soon as the team goes out, they're yesterday's news, and you focus on who's still remaining. But remember, in December, there was a lot of noise about, like, the Giants are the best team in the NFC. They have a real shot to run the table and get to the Super Bowl. And if you think back to that game in Lambeau, and I was high on Rodgers, as I always am, and the fact that they would win, and then all the nonsense around the stupid boat trip and how that was a distraction and everything. But just remember, Odell catches that one ball in the end zone early. Who knows how that game unfolds? And after that, this team is – that was a very good defense that they had, and it really came around as the season went along. If they can keep JPP, and I know some people are on the fence about whether or not they should keep him long term, but he was terrific for the most part in 2016. Handsome. Glass half empty, glass half full.
I think if half full means that, yeah, they got a chance to win a Super Bowl in the next year, 2 years, 3 years, I don't believe that's going to happen with Eli Manning as their quarterback. I think Eli Manning's time is the – you saw it at the back end of the season. He declined, and it was pretty noticeable. You've got those great receivers. You add a Terrell Pryor, it's going to come down to is your quarterback capable of doing what he needs to with those guys. I think Eli's time is up. I think they need to use this draft to find his replacement.
Eli, and I kind of agree with Hansel. Eli was Eli when they had that 1-2 running back punch when Bradshaw and Jacobs.
That goes back to Paul Perkins. Yeah, yeah. I think they need somebody else back.
And they do. They do.
Christian McCaffrey, how jazzy would that be? I mean, in the biggest market, if you dropped McCaffrey back there, that would be fun.
You're talking gold right now, Sheck. Right. You're talking gold now.
We've seen with the Mannings, that decline, that arm strength decline happens pretty quickly. And let's say there's some physical similarities between those two, between Peyton and Eli. Eli's, what, 35 years old?
Yeah, but that happened to Peyton when he was 40. I think,
Dave, it happened 2 years ago.
Okay, but he had the neck issue, too. But my point is that when you are a physically, you know, he's an immobile guy to begin with. So what's the fall off? Who 35 hurts more is a guy who was once running around and no longer can.
Maybe, right. But if you're already a statue, I think that team. You look at every other part of that team. I think you'd say the glass is half full. But if you're talking about them winning a Super Bowl, I don't think they're going to do it with Eli. I think they have to find their replacement.
Look who's down on Eli.
I think they can. I just think they need that. Dang, you hit it on the head. If they can get that other running back.
They need one of those X factor.
Yeah. McCaffrey would be.
Tavon Austin kind of guys. Right, yeah. All right, so there you have it. I guess we're going to say tentatively the glass is
half.
Kind of.
Just
that's unsatisfying. I'm going to say full for them, but the measure is will they finish better than they did within their own division last year? And to that, I would say no. I would say the Cowboys are going to win the division again, right? And here come the Skins. I think the Eagles, we'll see what they do. If they can add a receiver to their mix there.
Cowboys need a receiver too.
Well, that's true. We'll talk about them at a later date. Now it's time for Triplets, we talk about them, presented by McDonald's in honor of the three types of Big Macs you can get. We talk about triplets here on the show.
Remind me of those three Big Macs, Dave. I got to go get – I think we're going to have some delivered here one day soon. And
true.
Hopefully.
A Mac Jr., a Big Mac, and a Grand Mac. I call the Big Mac – I call the Grand Mac now when they do show up. I get the
– McDonald's, can y'all please give your boy – I won't be here this Thursday, but mean this – this Tuesday, but the following, whenever Tuesdays or Thursdays, please give your boy some coffee, man. Y'all got some good coffee, man. Yep. Can you please present this show, the DDFP, with some fresh coffee?
If we're making appeals, I'd like to make one too.
Yeah.
I'd like to get one of each of those three delicious Big Macs. The Mac Daddy.
It's the Grand Mac.
The Big Mac and the Mac Junior. I want one of each, and I want us each to eat all three. See who finishes them first.
I'm definitely not gonna. I'm gonna take my time, Handsome.
All right. We can do it anyway. But I want one of each, and I want to try them all.
I want a hash brown in its sleeping bag. I want two egg McMuffins. I want a
shake.
But you know what? St. Patrick's Day is nigh. It's almost time for the what's it called?
Shake.
Shamrock Shake. I couldn't think of that. And I want it all delivered by the Grimace.
Didn't I tell y'all he asked himself a question and answer it?
We put in some reasonable requests. You asked for a coffee. He wants his food delivered by a mythical character.
Right. Right.
So let's talk about the triplets now. And it's fascinating stuff that's going on at this time of the year. Jimmy Garoppolo is being sold off to any number of teams via trade. Some people think we'll have to wait and see what happens there. Tony Romo, can the Cowboys trade him? Let's analyze it here and now. Who has the best triplets at the QB spot in the NFL right now? It's easy to say Tom Brady and Jimmy Garoppolo and Jacoby Brissett. In fact, I think that probably is the answer. But who are the other contenders here? We have our lists. We have all 32 teams in their QB positions, situations. I don't think you can do better than the greatest of all time, plus Jimmy Garoppolo, who in his limited exposure has looked awfully good, and even Jacoby Brissett went in there and won a pro football game.
Yeah, I mean, after that, you got to go with Dallas.
You got to go Dallas next.
Yeah.
They've got Romo as long as he's on that roster, but then grim reality sets in.
Mm-hmm.
Is it going to be Kellen Moore? Are they going to hold on to Mark Sanchez as their backup? That suddenly looks not so good because Romo's not going to be there.
And please do not sleep even though the third one might be a half, with Jeff Driscoll, Cincinnati Bengals.
A.J. McCarron.
Yeah.
I've been calling for him to get his shot.
No question.
He wants his shot
now,
too.
No question. He's waiting in the cut like how Kurt was. Mm-hmm. How Kurt Cousins was waiting in the cut. He definitely waiting in the cut. Ryan Mallett, I like Ryan Mallett if he could ever get his head together.
Well, it seemed like it's been quiet, which is what you want to hear.
Right, right.
What you want is to not hear news on Ryan Mallett.
Right.
Because it seems
you
like it was –
love Ryan Mallett, Dave.
I do. I love the physical skills, yeah. That's for sure. 6'6".
Well, wasn't he with the Patriots?
Yep.
Yeah. He was. He was drafted by them. And I said, learning at the knee of Brady for all those years is going to benefit him. I thought he was going to shine in Houston. I didn't know that he off the field likes to do whatever he likes to do. That makes him so tired that he has to go to sleep.
True.
But he is beloved. That is true.
Yeah, his teammates loved him. We can say what we want to say. And hopefully he's beginning to learn how to be a professional. But just hearing from other teammates and guys around the league, he's the guy you want
to
be
around.
You
know what? I might have to. There might have to be a third wave of mallet.
Oh, please.
No. That's right. I might start to have to hammer the league with mallet once again.
No question. Let's get it popping.
Thank you. You know who I'd like? You know where I'd like to see him?
Tell us.
As Ben Roethlisberger's backup, that would be terrific.
What about Landry Jones?
I'd like
he's
to see.
Big.
I'd
he's
like
got to all the physical tools as well.
Does he?
But he's not 6'6" big like Mallett. Hey, Mallett is 6'6".
And he doesn't have that whip.
He's like 6'8".
Here's another
Who,
one.
Landry?
Yeah.
No.
I want to throw one more at you.
The Miami Dolphins.
The Miami Dolphins. If you like Ryan Tannehill, okay. Matt Moore was a very good backup. You know, he played very well. And T.J. Yates has started playoff games.
I've
he's
got a
your
better
three?
One for you.
He's your three? That's
got a better one for you. How about the Minnesota Vikings?
Oh,
well, Teddy B. Though,
you got Teddy Bridge. Well, let's assume he comes back at least, you know, at some point at almost as good as he was, and then Sean Hill is a pretty capable veteran number three.
I like that one. What about the Packers with Aaron Rodgers and Brett Hundley? I'm interested to see what this kid ends up being.
You're never going to
Joe Callahan.
You're never going to.
Now you don't like Brett Hundley.
It'd be all right.
Yeah. How about the worst one?
Yeah, who is the worst?
How about the LA Rams? Jared Goff, Case Keenan, and Sean Mannion.
How about the Jets? Geno, Petty, Hack.
Man, they got 6 first rounders at the quarterback position.
That's not very good. The Falcons don't even have a number 3 rostered right now. How about Cam Newton, Derek Anderson, Joe Webb? That's a pretty good trio there.
RG3, Cody Kessler, and Kevin Hogan.
That one makes me feel sad. Oh, well, I mean.
How about San Fran?
How about Goff?
They don't have a quarterback on their roster. Everyone's a free agent.
Kaepernick, Garrett, Ponder, Lewis.
You know, spinning off of that, here's another one that I'll throw at you there as I look at the Arizona Cardinals, and the word is that Carson Palmer is going to return. Wouldn't they do well, Ike? You know Bruce Arians. If anybody – and people – the phrase, if anybody can fix this guy, it's blank. People use that, but they describe 11 different coordinators this way. But really, if anybody can fix Jay Cutler, isn't it Bruce Arians? With the particular skill set I'm talking about. Carson Palmer, those that, you know, hitting you deep. And I know that they're going to look a little bit different without Michael Floyd back there for the bulk of things. But John Brown and Fitz is back now. Can't you see Jay Cutler, Bruce Arians, knowing how to take advantage of that great arm?
Honestly, I think if anybody can fix a quarterback, it would be Ken Whisenhunt. I mean, I love B.A. B.A. is a heck of an offensive coordinator. He's going to find his mismatches. But kind of being a quarterback whisperer, I got to go with Ken Whisenhunt. Because we saw when he was with Big Ben, he progressed Big Ben. We saw even a late in veteran season, Phillip Rivers having a good season under Ken Whisenhunt as the O.C. I think he would do the same with Jay Cutler. Ken Whisenhunt, he's true to his checkdowns. And I think – and that's what Tom Brady does so well. And that's what Peyton Manning did for a long time so well. They check down. Like, it's not open, it's not open, it's not open. My third or fourth option is my checkdown. Bam. Even when Joe Flacco went on his unbelievable playoff run, he went to his checkdown. Like, he looked deep. It wasn't there deep. Bam, I'm going to Ray Rice, my check down. Bam, Ray Rice going to give me 100 and some yards receiving. There you go. So, but that's what Coach Ken Whisenhunt believes in. Look, check down. And that's what you saw Phillip Rivers do. Look deep, Look in the middle. Nope. Bam. Check down. So, yeah, I like B.A. a lot, but I know B.A. loves his big plays. I do know that. And once teams starting to figure that out, like you didn't see
the
offense.
Yeah, you did see that go away.
Once you got to start checking down, it's tough to go 15 plays. But for New England, oh, we'll do 15 all day. You see Edelman and Amendola? Oh, yeah, I'm a 15 to them all day. We can do 15-play drives all day. Ken Whisenhunt, I think, is the quarterback whisperer.
You know what I enjoyed about today's show? Ike is always on the Tuesday show, but now people who only listen to the first of the week now get to hear 24 and the magic that he
on
brings.
On Thursday?
I always like having Handsome together with –
he's the equalizer.
We have a great time together.
With 24. Well, because you guys are basically the same human being.
Right.
That's
he's
why.
The equalizer.
It's almost redundant that you guys
– because if you and I was on the show, it would be, like, everywhere. Like – Handsome Hank is the equalizer.
All right. I mean, I don't know what
I don't know what it means, but it sounds good.
The equalizer in what sense? You think that, like, because I bring sense, you bring nonsense, and he's, like, in between.
Bro, we both bring nonsense.
Oh, that's true.
He brings the sense.
That's true. Hey, it's a sad show for us because as the time rolls on, the football season begins, then it ends. So, too, does the employment of some of the great DDFP staff. Now it's David Lehrer's turn to go off into the sunset. Hopefully, only temporarily.
You fired another one.
Well, I can't help it. You know what? I'm mercurial.
When you coming back, man? You going on a hiatus?
Yeah, I'll be back next season.
Hey, if you've enjoyed the Eternal Red Zone, which football luminaries have out there, I appreciate the actual football players watching getting sucked into it. It's great. If you like watching football, then you'll like this. It's the best plays in history. We've been doing that. You can find it on social media. Lara is the guy who was primarily in charge
of pulling
that
whole
thing together.
Did a beautiful job with it.
Yeah, he really did.
Hustled.
I mean, easy for me to spit out, like, hey, that play from 78 years ago in the third quarter, go find that one, too, and include that. He would dig all that stuff up and find it all. But beyond that, a great chum
should
to have around.
It's pretty cool to have on your resume that you produce something. I was in the stadium Super Bowl Sunday morning at, I don't know what time, 8:30, 9 o'clock in the morning, up on the big screen in Houston in Reliant Stadium is you guys' hard work. NRG Stadium. I'm
Thank you, that. Handsome.
Did we not make him put some respect on our name for that Super Bowl?
Yes, we did. Yeah,
we had a good time.
We did. Me, Ike, and Maurice running around down on
it
the field. We got to find the video of that, too. That was just something to behold is the reverence. I don't know, whatever pelts you might have on the wall, Tevin Coleman and Devontae Freeman running off the field to come over and hug Ike and Maurice like 45 minutes before the game and Potbelly Jew next to him like, hey, good luck in the Super Bowl, Devontae Freeman. It was really quite a thing. Great fun. Great fun with Lair over the last few months. We'll look forward to his return. We'll look forward to kibitzing with you next week. In the meantime, for Handsome and IT and everybody behind the glass, it's been a thin slice of heaven.
Dun, 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 dun. So awkward. He's Aki.
Wait, does that?